بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على أفضل أنبياء الله وأشرف خلقه وخاتم رسله سيدنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الغر الميامين، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، يا رحمة الله الواسعة، ويا باب نجاة الأمة، ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة، يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. أطروا مجالسكم بالصلاة على محمد وآل محمد. The most sacrosanct institution on earth is the institution of marriage and family. ما بني بناء في الإسلام أحب إلى الله تعالى من التزويج. And therefore, to make this institution holy and sanctified, and to fulfill the mission and the purpose of marriage, you have to observe certain rules. You have to adhere to the principles of marriage. Before you get married, you have a variety of options before you. You have many choices ahead of you. There are numerous qualities, features, characteristics, specifications, but some of them are very important and cannot be neglected or overlooked or bypassed. Some of them are social, others are physical, some of them are spiritual, yet tonight I'd like to share some of them with you. And I concised all these characteristics in 5 points. So bear with me. And for those of you who are intending to establish a family, pay your attention. Pay your attention to these 5 traits, 5 qualities that has to be found in your partner. Once You fill the list. You check all these five qualities. Then say, yes, I am interested in this person. Number one, the originality of the family, nobility of the family, asalah in Arabic, the purity of the family. I'm not here talking only about the individual that you are interested in him or her. His or her family are also important. Brothers and sisters, we human beings are like products and commodities. When you come to any product in the market today, you may find a product that is original, a product that is genuine. They tell you this is genuine leather. They tell you this is a brand. This is authentic. This t-shirt is a brand, original. On the other hand, you go to the market and you find other products that are not original. They are counterfeit. They are impostures. They are fake, not real, not genuine. The hadith says, "النَّاسُ مَعَادٍ كَمَعَادٍ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ." People like minerals. They are different like minerals. Some of these minerals are very expensive like gems, very precious. Some of these minerals are available. You find them everywhere. They are cheap in the market. Hence, people are like minerals. Some of them are original, expensive, they have value. And some of them are cheap. So here you have to choose. Here you have to go, in order for you to get married, search for the family, a family with a quality. Go to a family that has a legacy of goodness, that has good merits, a family that has a glorious history of goodness, of humbleness. Don't go to any family. Think about the family first. Family does matter. Parents, they matter. Uncles and aunts, they do matter. They have a role. And when we listen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we realize that they all have a role in your marriage. I'm not suggesting here that when you want to get married, go to the royal family and propose to their daughter. No, this is not my suggestion. I'm not saying here go to a rich family, a famous family. This is not my point. What I am saying here, go to a family that is original in manners and faith. It is not fake. Not a fake family. Not a family that pretends to be good and religious, but in reality, they are rotten. Go to an original family. And there are two important things in a family. Go to a family that has moral standings and ethical values. And remember, two things matter in the marriage. Number one, the genetic influence. It does matter. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تخيروا لنطفكم فإن العرق دساس. Be careful. Choose. تخيروا means you have to choose. You have to meditate. Don't go at random. Don't go blindly. Don't ask someone in your family to do this on your behalf without carefully studying, investigating your partner, your future partner. Do it yourself. This is your own homework. Even for the sisters, what I mentioned last night about your parents' role, I didn't mean in any way that you blindly follow what your father loves and what your mother chooses for you. I said you have to choose. But sometimes if there is a conflict or a clash between the two, صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. then consider your parents' choice. Do not disregard it. Because they are the one who raised you and nurtured you. تَخَيَّرُوا لِنُطَفِكُمْ. The genetic influence is so effectual and influential. This is one. And second, the social surrounding, the general atmosphere of the family. إِيَّاكُمْ وَخَضْرَاءُ الدِّمَنْ قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهُ وَمَا خَضْرَاءُ الدِّمَنْ قال المرأة الحسناء في منبة السوء. She's so attractive. You are blown away by her beauty. But she's raised in a very dangerous area. In a very dangerous family. This one also has a very powerful impact. Even her uncle, her aunt, they have a role in your marriage. So be careful when you get married. It's just like, brothers and sisters, like the animal kingdom, like the vegetation kingdom. Sometimes you look at a plant and you can clearly distinguish between a good plant and bad plant. You can clearly say that this plant that you see had been well taken care of by the gardener or the farmer. You can tell by looking at the plant. On the other hand, when you look at other plants, you can say that this plant has been abandoned. It has no gardener. The same thing with animals. You look at a dog sometimes. Our neighbor back home, she tells me that I brought my dog is special. I said, what do you mean special? She said, I brought it from Europe and it hails from the royal family. So I want to trust my dog. I paid so much money to bring this special dog that hails from a royal family to America. So even dogs and animals, you can realize that this dog has an owner and the owner takes care of the animal. And sometimes there is another dog in the street, loose in the street, abandoned, has no caretaker. Thus human beings are like animals and plants. Sometimes you can see the fingerprints of the parents on their children's attitude. And sometimes you can realize from the children's behavior, you can find out about the parents' manners and temperaments and outlook by looking at their kids. It is reciprocal. So when you choose, go to the right source. Go to the source that be a family to you. Her father, her mother, her brothers and her sisters. You are proud of your kids' uncles. You are proud of your kids' aunts. And here, you should not rush into the marriage. You have to consult. Go to the good families. Nevertheless, there are exceptions for every rules. I'm not suggesting that here only look at the family and neglect the individual. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we find an individual, a girl, a boy, who's an orphan. He does not have parents. What do we do to him? If he comes and proposes to us, we reject him because he does not have a father or a mother. Or a girl that comes maybe from a humble background. Her father is not very prominent. Even the family tree is not very prominent. What do we do to them? We reject them? No. No, we don't reject them. Sometimes you find people who don't have parents, who don't hail from prominent families. But yet, their behavior and their akhlaq and their attitude is so outstanding and exceptional. And the other point that I'd like to mention and draw our attention to it, the problem of the converts or the reverts or the new fights, those who embrace Islam, not only in this country, in North America, and everywhere. Those people unfortunately have been wronged and marginalized by the Muslim community, by the rest of the Muslims. They have been disregarded, disrespected. I hear from many of them, men and women, who converted to Islam in this country and in North America. They tell me, we go to the mosque, the Islamic center, and we have no place. Not a physical place. They don't have a spiritual place. They don't have respect. And this is bad. This is terrible. The first thing we learn in Islam, that people are equal. That people are born from one father and one mother. When it comes to their role, to their prominence, to their responsibilities, they are equal. Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are equal. The only time you can distinguish between a person and another person is where? إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. By the degree and the level of piety and righteousness. This is how we respect. This is how our respect should be based on righteousness and piety. Therefore, maybe there is a convert who does not have a Muslim father, a religious father, but yet he's a true Muslim. He's a pious Muslim. Like Salman al-Farisi, his parents were not Muslim. Others who were around the Prophet, their parents were not Muslim, but yet they were so close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In the eyes of Allah, we do not have an outcast. Allah has a beautiful policy. When He spreads His love and compassion and respect and attention, He is an inclusive God. He includes all. All people are welcome. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hadith says, أَخْفَى وَلِيَّهُ فِي عِبَادِهِ فَلَا تُحَقِّرَنَّ أَحَدًا مِّنْ عِبَادِهِ فَلَعَلَّهُ يَكُونُ وَلِيُّ اللَّهِ. Do not disrespect any human being, any servant of God. He or she might turn to be the closest person to Allah. So when it comes to the converts, although this is an entirely other subject, and I have to address it one night inshallah, but we welcome them. You look at the person. You look at the individual first. So number one, the family. Purity, nobility of the family. Number two, consideration at the time of marriage and before marriage. Things that you search for in your future partner. Remember. Number two, if I ask all people here tonight, what is the best, if I ask you only to mention one quality of an individual, what is in your mind the best quality, the best ever quality of an individual? I'm sure most of you are going to tell me honesty. Yes? True or not? Honesty. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رأس الإيمان الأمانة رأس الإيمان الأمانة and وأسوأ الخلق الخيانة. Iman, the essence of Iman, and the best thing in Iman and the most favorite thing in faith is honesty, is to be an honest person. And the worst trait of an individual is dishonesty and insincerity. في حديث آخر, in another prophetic tradition, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم says, رأس النفاق, رأس النفاق, the centerpiece of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is completely bad, entirely bad. But the centerpiece of hypocrisy is dishonesty, insincerity. So search for the quality individual. Search for the ethical soundness, uprightness, and virtues in the person. My dear brothers and sisters, The founding block of the marriage and the family is the trust. When a trust is found and the trust is mutual, the marriage is stable. Once the trust is missing, the marriage is going to experience turbulence. And the first step to file for separation and divorce and the disintegration of the family is suspicion. When one of them or both in the family, they start suspecting about each other. They don't trust each other. When they begin suspecting about each other, then this marriage is going downward. And if that suspicion does not end and does not stop, then it will end up in court. Mutual trust, the most beautiful thing, the most peaceful thing, the most promising thing in the marriage is the mutual trust between the couples. You cannot live with the person that you don't trust him, you are not going to enjoy your life with him or her. You can't enjoy. The person that you always suspect about him, he's a liar. You can't trust him. You can't trust his words, his feelings, his sentiments, his promises, his sayings. If you can't trust him, how can you surrender your body? How can you surrender your heart, your life, your future to him? You can't. You can't sleep with a peace of mind. You can't be in the same room, in the same car, on the same dining table, in the same bedroom, on the same bed with a person that you don't trust. Trustworthiness is the essence of marriage. And therefore, brothers and sisters, in order for you to know your friend very well, in order for you to stay with your partner for a long period of time, and to be able to focus on your marital responsibilities. If you are a father, you focus on your job, on nurturing your kids, on taking care of your family. If you are a mother, to focus and concentrate on your responsibilities as a caring and loving mother, you have to trust your partner. Search for honesty and ask his friends. When someone comes to propose to you, ask his friends. You can't ask, let your father ask. Let your brother ask. Let someone you trust ask. His friends. Is this an honest person or not? وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ If that person is an honest person, then go ahead with peace of mind. If not, don't waste your time. Don't waste your life with someone who is a liar, who is an illusionist, who is a dishonest. You're going to live the rest of your life in suspicion and fear. So honesty is very important. The honesty of the husband and the honesty of the wife. You know, one time a lady came to divorce her husband. And when I asked her about the reason, I said to her, does he love you or not? She said, he claims he does. But say it by God, every time when he tells me, I love you, I know that he has a wicked plan in his mind against me. Because he's not honest. I know when he comes to me and says, I love you today, I know he wants to do something bad to me today. Because trust is missing. So this is number two. Number three, devotion to Allah and to His family. One time, in one of the states in America, a very religious lady married a very devout and religious man. He's religious. He does not drink, he does not smoke, he does not do drugs. He prays five times a day, sometimes Salatul Layl. But two years later, they got divorced. When I asked her why, she said, he's not devoted to marriage. He's devoted to his friends. He comes back home from work rather than sitting with me, paying attention to me and my little daughter. He invites his friends over. They sit. I cook food for them. They eat. They enjoy the food. And they stay there until 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. in the morning. I have to go to my bed alone. I wait for my husband. I don't see him. He's a religious man, but yet he's crazy. Yet he does not understand the responsibilities and the duties of a man, of a husband. He's not good. Even if he prays, he wouldn't help you. So he has to be devoted first to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Devotion to Allah. Person who is sincere with Allah, who is honest with Allah. A real worshipper is the one who does not wrong, does not abuse, does not do any injustice to anyone on the earth, let alone his wife, to anyone. And this is the saying of our great Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Al-mu'min or al-muslim man salim al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadih. The true believer in God is the one who is harmless, peaceful. People are immune. People who live around him, people who live far away from him, his family, his kids, his friends, his neighbors, his enemies are immune from him, from his wickedness. He's not a wicked person. He's a peaceful person. لَن تُؤْمِنُ الْجَنَّةِ لَن تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَن تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَتَحَابُوا. The Prophet says, paradise is there. Yet you can't make it to it unless you believe, have firm belief in God. And you can't have firm and true, genuine belief in God unless you start loving and respecting each other. Hatta tatahabu, mutual. You have to love each other. A person comes to the Prophet one day. He says to him, Ya Rasulullah, listen to me. I'm a man. I hardly fast the month of Ramadan. لا أزيد عليه. If Ramadan is 29 days, I fast only 29 days. I don't fast not a single day of Rajab or Sha'ban or mid-Sha'ban or whatever. I hardly pray 5 times a day. I don't do Salat al-Layl, no Nafila, nothing else. And I don't pay charity because I don't have money. I don't pay charity. I don't pay Sadaqah. I don't pay donation. The money that I have, I spend on myself and my family and my kids. Tell me, a person like me, who does not do extra work, would make it to paradise? فَتَبَسَّمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. The Prophet smiled. He said to him, أنت معي في درجتي في الجنة إن. I promise that I take you. تَدْخُلُ مَعِ الْجَنَّةِ. I hold your hand. I take you to paradise if. إِنْ حَفَظْتَ قَلْبَكَ مِنْ اثْنَتَيْنِ مِنَ الْغِلِّ وَالْحَسَدِ وَلِسَانَكَ مِنْ اثْنَتَيْنِ مِنَ الْغِيبَةِ وَالْكَذِبِ وَعَيْنَكَ مِنْ اثْنَتَيْنِ مِمَّا حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ وَأَنْ تَزْدَرِي بِهِمَا مُسْلِمًا. Promise me. I'm not asking you to do extra prayers, extra fasting, to go to Hajj every year. But promise me, if you promise me this, I'm going to hold your hand, take you with me to paradise. To safeguard your heart first against hatred, against the grudge, keep it clean, and against jealousy and envy. And the rest of them I will explain them later. But this is important. To safeguard your heart against hatred, grudge. You have to have a loving heart. God created the heart to be the center of love, not the center of hate. And you are here tonight. Why you are here tonight? For one reason, because you love someone called Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This is what brought you to this session. We have to love each other, brothers and sisters. This is the essence of religion. A harmless person. So he has to be devoted to Allah. And he has to be also devoted to you. How does a man be devoted to his wife? How does a wife becomes devoted to her husband? How? A man is only devoted to his wife when he is impressed by her. But what side of her? A man or a woman? Devoted to their partners when they are impressed by their characters, by their personalities, by their incredible attributes, by their wonderful qualities, by their inner beauty here. This is what makes a man impressed by a woman, and this is what makes a real woman, genuine woman, impressed by a man, by a husband. Go to the original. See, we have original parts. When you take your car to the mechanic, in some countries they do not install original parts, and you get angry with them because your car breaks again. By the time you take it out of the shop, it breaks. Search for original parts of a humanity. An original part, the original part of the humanity are the values, the good character, the good manners, the akhlaq. This is the original part. Everything else disappears one day. What remains is the good attitude, is the good manners, is the values that you stand for. I sometimes give this analogy. I say, we have a land and we have a building. The land is immutable and changeable, immovable. Land is fixed. But the building is changeable and immutable. We have immutable and we have immutable. The land is immutable and changeable. The building is immutable, changeable. You buy a property, you don't like the building, you can demolish, bring it down, design another house and raise the building. But if you don't like the land, you can't carry the land, take it from here to there. The land is fixed. The location is fixed. The land stays where it is, but the building can be removed. Completely redesigned, remodeled. Hence, some Muslim philosophers, some Muslim philosophers and ethicists, ulama ul-akhlaq and psychologists, they argue, when they study the human character, they argue that human personality is immutable and changeable. It would never change. It is fixed. If a person is born as a jealous person, he cannot change his traits. If he is born as a generous person, nothing can change him. What changes is not the personality itself, is the circumstances, is the drive, the motives, but not the personality. The personality would never change from birth to death. وَالظُّلْمُ مِنْ شِيَ مِنْ نَفُوسِ فَإِنْ تَجِدْ ذَعِفَّةٍ فَلِعِلَّةٍ لَا يَظْلِمُ. This is original character. Does not change. The hasood, someone who is envious, he remains envious for the rest of his life. Someone who is coward, he remains coward for the rest of his life. Someone who is mean, is mean for the rest of his life. Someone who is generous and kind, is generous and kind for the rest of his life. However, they say the following, pay attention. They say religion, faith, the role of religion here, when someone becomes religious, true religious person, religiosity here helps him to modify and mitigate his personality. Meaning, if he's an envious person, hasood, Religion is going to modify his hasad, make it mild, but it cannot eradicate his jealousy completely. The role of religion is to rein in wickedness, meanness, jealousy, to control it, to suppress it. In the dua, what do we say in the dua? Allahumma in azama adh-dhunubi fa anta a'zam. Wa in kabura tafriti fa anta akbar. Wa in dama bukhli fa anta ajwad. It means that Allah, if I am mean, I would remain mean for the rest of my life. You, through your generosity, suppress my meanness. Suppress it. But it stays there. And therefore, people who love money, nothing can change when someone, you can see two kids today, two kids. Go home, go to certain families, bring two kids. Both of them are 2 years old. One, he has toys, playing with his toys. Another kids come, before that kids ask him, he will give him his own toys. He will give him his own food. The other one, as soon as someone comes from the door, he takes his kids' toys and runs away. Runs away. And he starts fighting. Who taught them? A professor of psychology? School? They read book? They saw a movie? No, it's original. However, the role of the parents here is to teach this mean kid that you have to share. You have to share. Life is about sharing. You have to train. And exactly this is the message of the Anbiya. They came to cultivate the good values in us, to teach us, to train us. يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمْ يُعَلِّمُهُمْ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, to purify us. Therefore, brothers and sisters, if you look for a person, your future husband or wife, try to find the original parts in him or her. Original parts. Something that is real in him. Don't look at things that disappears. Things that disappears are the following. If you are a sister, if you are a lady, a daughter, don't look at his fancy mansion. Do not look at his sport car. Don't look at the diamond ring that he brought you. These things, they come and go. Do not look at the Rolex watch that they present to you. These things, they come and go. Money, beauty, physical beauty, power, government, celebrity, they come and go. They don't remain. You all remember the story of the Superman in America? Christopher Reed? He was a Superman. What happened to him? You know what happened to him. Nobody remains a Superman. This is the reality of life. There are things that come and go. But what remains, what is firmly positioned, like the land that you buy, it doesn't change. What is immutable is the good character, good Islamic character. You can enjoy your life with that person. You can enjoy your life with that person. And here, brothers and sisters, someone asked me yesterday about physical beauty. Should I consider also physical beauty in my future partner? Of course, yes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "أفضل نساء أمتي أصبحهن وجهن." Yes. When we emphasize the inner beauty, the moral beauty, it doesn't mean that we overlook the physical beauty. Yes, the person that you want to marry has to be attractive, beautiful. But remember, nevertheless, the beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, as the Bible says. The beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. You love people because they have genuine characters. You fall in love with them. Physical beauty comes as the first glance, but what is enduring and lasting for centuries is the inner beauty. Is the inner beauty. And therefore, sometimes, a mother, not sometimes, all the times, the mother, she loves her kid. Although the kid, when you look at the kid, she thinks, she considers, she truly thinks that her kid is a beauty queen. But if you look at the kid, sometimes you have to recite, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Why she loves him? Is it really this kid, this baby, is it beautiful? Maybe not. Maybe yes, maybe not. Because the mother, she loves him. She loves him. She sees him as the most beautiful piece in this universe. Therefore, when you love someone, you're going to look at him or her with a different eyes, with a different vision, with a different perception. You're going to look at them as the most attractive and most beautiful creature on earth, because you are in love with them. On the other hand, if you hate someone, if you can't stand seeing someone, you're going to see him or her as the ugliest person on earth. Probably you heard the story of this sheikh who did not like his wife. One of the shuyukh, definitely he was not Sayyid, he didn't like his wife. And he used to argue with her every day. Every day they have an argument. He goes home, rather than sitting together, speaking together, they would argue, they would fight. One day, he was beaten up by his wife, alhamdulillah. But it happened just a few minutes after his speech. He had a speech, not in Ahlul Bayt Foundation, huh? He had a speech. So he went to his speech and he decided to dedicate his entire speech against women. Women are crazy, women are bad, women are unreliable. He was misogynist, someone who hates women. He gave a fire speech for 1 hour. He stirred people's emotions against women. And the room was full with men, many of them married. At the end of his speech, he said, "Now tell me, Habibi, tell me, who is against women? Let him stand, let me see him." The whole room stood. Everybody stood. Except one man, he was sitting in the corner. He didn't stand. So the sheikh was so excited and happy. He said, "Alhamdulillah, you all agree with me that women are bad and evil. Except one poor man who's sitting there." The man, he stood, he said, "Maulana, no, 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 don't get me wrong. My wife broke my leg." But alhamdulillah, women are wonderful. Our mothers and our sisters and our wives and your daughters. And I said this many times before, brothers and sisters. You would not realize the value of your mother and sometimes your sister until you become a father, until you have a daughter yourself. You're going to adore your mother. I know people who did not apologize to their mothers, who did not respect them. But the day they became fathers, they went to them. They said, "Now I realize how much important you are in my life." So prepare for that future. Two more qualities before I conclude. One, number four, is open-mindedness and intelligence. Your partner, your future partner, has to be intelligent. Marriage is about spending quality time with your partner. This is marriage. Quality time, good time, not a terrible time. And in order for you to get to this goal, you have to have an intelligent and open-minded husband or wife. إِيَّاكُمْ وَمُصَاحَبَةَ الْحَمْقَى فَإِنَّ صُحْبَتَهَا بَلَاءٌ وَوَلَدُهَا ضَيَاءٌ. If your partner is someone who is unintelligent, your life is going to be full of suffering, and your kids and your family is going to be lost. So be careful. Before you apply, before you propose, before you decide, you have to examine your partner. Look at him, look at her. Imam alayhi salatu wasalam says, "Do not befriend the ahmaq," someone who is unintelligent. Someone who's not open-minded, someone who's very, very, very narrow-minded. فَإِنَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَنْفَعُكَ فَيَضُرُّكَ. He tries to benefit you, but in fact he is harming you. So be careful, examine your partner. Examine him not to be someone retarded, someone with mental disability, mental disorder, someone with depression, deep depression, someone who is very angry, very nervous, bad-tempered, someone who is violent. Try to avoid these examples. You need to raise kids and family. You need to stabilize your marriage and your life. You need to reach your final destination and goal, not alone, but with your partners. And number five, and I am concluding with this, number five is to negotiate the terms of your marriage and your future life, your future lifestyle, your future living with your partner before marriage, not after marriage. Sometimes you have to negotiate the details of your marriage. I'm not discussing wedding here. I'm discussing your marriage, your living, your lifestyle. Some of you brothers and sisters, especially sisters, if you get to know someone who does not pray, try to convince him to perform his prayers before marriage. Don't leave it after marriage. Someone who smokes and you don't like smoking. Someone who do drugs, which is dangerous. Someone who drinks. He should quit. If he loves you, he should quit right away. Don't let him say, "Well, give me 2-3 years after marriage. Let's go now, let's get married, have kids, and then I will quit." Partners usually never compromise. There is no compromise after marriage. By the time you come from honeymoon, that's it. Your life is done. Nobody is going to change. If you want someone who wears hijab, then you have to negotiate this hijab before marriage. Don't leave it for after marriage. If you want her to lose weight, then ask her before marriage. If you want her to come size 12, this is before marriage. She would never do that. Not even a UN resolution would help you after marriage. If you want her to quit music, bad friends, ask her to do that before marriage. By the way, hijab, few people tonight ask me about why, what is the philosophy of hijab. I can say it in one word. This is not the whole philosophy. This is part of it. This is what means a lot for me when I look at hijab and the philosophy of hijab. And I have elaborated on this in my book, Women in Islam. You can get a copy. I have a whole chapter about hijab. But hijab, why women should wear hijab? Why hijab is important in Islam? Why hijab is mandatory? For the following reason. And this reason suffices for me. I don't look for any other reasons. Beside being the commands of God, clear-cut commands in the Holy Quran. Beside that, hijab helps me to focus on your inner beauty, not your physical beauty. Because if you show me, my sister, if you show me your physical beauty, I'm going to be fascinated, blown away by your body. And then I am not going to focus on your character, on your inside, on your intelligence, on your good qualities. I'm going to focus on certain things in front of my eyes. Your physical side. And in this case, hijab will be bad for you. Because these things that I'm going to focus on them, the physical things, they serve me 1 day, 2 days, 1 week, 2 weeks, 5 weeks, no more. After that, I'm going to search for something better and nicer. So this goes against you. If you show me your body, it goes against you. Because there are bodies who are much better than yours. Show me the good qualities here. The generosity here, the kindness here, the compassion here in your heart. Make me be fascinated and admiring you through the original parts. Remember the original parts? Not the fake parts. This is why hijab is important. When you wear hijab, I'm going to look at you, but I'm not going to look at your body. I'm going to look at your inner beauty, your intelligence. I'm going to look at your education, your manners, your adab, your haya. And I'm going to be fascinated by that. And this is how I get interested in you. Not through your body. Body nowadays is cheap. It's on television. And someone told me today, unfortunately, there is high five. You know the high five? You know it? Be honest, you know it or not? You all know it. I swear by God. And I learned about it just today. Someone who's sitting in this majlis, he came to me, he said, say it, say it, say it. There is something called high five. High five. Our Iraqi community, Muslim community, they go, they display their pictures. But not just pictures, huh? Not regular pictures. Some bad photos of their bodies on this high five in order for them to attract women. Even if you can get a wife through this high five, your marriage is not going to last for long. This is not a blessed marriage. This is not a blessed marriage. So give up. Give up. Be sensible. Be reasonable. Try to find a wife that's going to stay with you through ups and downs. A wife that does not care about the food or the dress or the parties or traveling. A wife that is loyal to you and to your heart and to your values. In the camp of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we have such examples. We have men and women who are partners. One of them was actually Christian, Wahab al-Kalbi, from the tribe of Bani Kalb. He was a Christian, but he was a very, very true person, honest person, realistic person, original person. This man accepted Islam at the hands of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And he was a newlywed. He was young and his wife was young too. His mother also and his wife, they accepted Islam, they embraced Islam. They were new converts in the camp of Imam Hussein, Wahab, alayhi salam. Someone who did not follow the Islamic tradition, but the guidance of Allah and the light of Imam Hussein penetrated his inner being, his soul, turned him upside down. He changed direction 180 degrees. And he came to Karbala. He's a convert, remember. He's a convert. He was not born Muslim. His wife was also a convert and his mother was also a convert. Those are three converts, they come to Karbala with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. On the day of Ashura, where the two groups were about to engage in combat, his mother came to him in the tent. She said to him, Ya Wahab, Allah has blessed us by accepting this new religion. We became Muslims. But Wahab, I have a suggestion. I think let's crown our Islam by martyrdom. We have one more step to go. We are Muslims now. We are okay. But you know, to put the final touch on our Islam is to be martyrs, is to be killed in the way of Ahlul Bayt and Islam. So would you promise me to join me in this journey? He said, yes, sure, I will. On the day of Ashura, he asks permission from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein gives him permission. He goes to the fighting, he fights, and he did very well, and he comes back to the tent. He said, Ya Ummah, hal raditi anni? Are you now happy and satisfied with me? Did I do well? I was fighting now. Do you accept me? She said, La wallah, hatta araka tuqtal bayna yaday ibn Rasulillah, ibn binti Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Never, my son. My son, it's not just by going for a few minutes and coming back. I mentioned the shahada to you, martyrdom. I want you to get killed before Imam Hussein, the son of the Prophet. My son, Shahada is a privilege from Allah. Allah has brought us now here from a long distance, from a long way, from a different culture and religious tradition. Allah provided us with this privilege. So why declining it? Why declining the Shahada? Besides, my son, remember, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a shafa'a intercession. And if you want to receive his intercession today and make a shortcut to paradise, then you have to be killed before Imam Hussein. Hatta araka tuqtal bayna yaday ibn Rasulillah, ibn binti Rasulillah. When he was about to go, since his wife, she loved him so much, she was so close to him. Remember, they are newlywed. She came to him. She said to him, she intervened. She said to him, Ya Wahab, if you go and get killed, I will be widow after you. I will remain alone. You are the only hope in my life. I have no parents, no brothers, no family. You represent everything for me in this life. Please don't go. Please don't leave me alone. Please do not bereave me from you. But the wife kept insisting on him to go. The mother kept insisting on him. He listened to his mother. He went to the battlefield. While he was fighting bravely, he heard his wife behind him saying to him, قاتل دون الطيبين أبناء الطيبين عطرة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله. He turned, he saw his wife. He was astonished and surprised. What happened? He turned to her, he said to her, few minutes ago you were discouraging me. You were unhappy with me that I am going to fight and get killed. What happened now that you change your mind? Ya Wahab, la talumni inna wa'iyat al-Husayn qatta'at niyat qalbi. رأيته جالسا في كسر الخباء وهو يقول هل من ناصر ينصرنا. Don't blame me, Wahab. Don't blame me. The things that I saw could not make me wait. Ya Wahab, I want you to go and fight. Imam Hussein, I saw him. He's beleaguered. He's distressed. He's alone. He's looking for supporters and aids. So now I want you to go ahead and continue supporting and defending this camp. He was fighting bravely. قتل منهم مقتله فقطعوا يمينه وشماله وضربوه بالسيف. They dealt him a blow on his head. He fell to the ground. His wife rushed to him. مسحت التراب عن جبينه قالت أسأل الله الذي أكرمك بالشهادة أن يرزقني بها. Oh Wahab, you are so fortunate. She was wiping the blood from his forehead and head. She said to him, I ask Allah, Allah who bestowed the shahada on you, to bring me the shahada to myself too. Few minutes later, while she was sitting next to his head, جاءها خادم أو غلام للشمر ضربها بالسيف على رأسها فكانت أول شهيدة من النسوة من نساء أصحاب الحسين عليه السلام. While she was sitting next to the head, Shimr and his servants, they came. His servants came down and he dealt her a blow, a fatal blow on her head. And she was killed instantly in the battlefield. She was the very first martyr from the camp, a female martyr from the camp of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. قضوا قضوا حق عليهم دون الأخيام ولا خلاوا خوات حسين تنظام لما طاحوا تفايض منهم الهوام.
تهاوى ومثل ما هو النجم من خر.
The other example is a boy who was only 11 years old. He came with his mother.
غلام قتل أبوه في المعركة.
He is anonymous. Nobody mentions his name in the books of Maqatil and the history. Nobody knows his name. He's anonymous. He came with his mother. His mother pushed him to go and fight Imam Hussein. When he stood before him, he declined to take him because his father, minutes ago, he was martyred. He did not want to bring two catastrophes on his mother in one day. He refused to give him permission. He stood before Imam Hussein. He said, Wallahi ya Abu Abdullah, inna ummi hiya allati amaratni bidalik.
This is the command of my mother. My mother is so happy with me.
But still Imam refused. His mother brought him. أخذت بعضده. She took him from his arm. She stood before Imam Hussein. أبا عبد الله أتذكل أمك الزهراء بولدها ولا أذكل بولدي دع ولدي يقاتل بين يديك.
How come your honorable mother, the daughter of the Prophet, is going to be afflicted by your departure and you don't allow me to share, to contribute in this honor? Please, Aba Abdullah, let my son defend your camp.
The son took the sword. Imam gave him permission. He came to the battlefield. He defended Islam. Minutes later, he was killed. His mother rushed to him. She took his head. She put it on the dust. And then she goes inside the tent. She takes a pole. And she comes to fight. أنا عجوز سيدي ضعيف خاوية بالية نحيفة أضربكم بضربة عنيفة دون بني فاطمة الشريف.
Imam Hussein, he went to her. He took her. He brought her back to the tent. يا أمة الله كتب القتل والقتال علينا وعلى المحصنات جر الذيول.
But then he asked his son Ali al-Akbar to rush to this boy. He said to him, اذهب إليه قبل أن تدوسه الخيل بحوافرها. Ali al-Akbar came to him. He was fainting with a very fainting voice. He turned when he realized Ali al-Akbar, the son of Imam Hussein, is standing. You know what he said to him? He said to him, يا ابن رسول الله حولوا رحلة أمي إلى رحالكم إنها أصبحت من بعدي غريبة.
I have one request before I go, before I die. My mother now is alone. She's lonely. She lost me. She lost my father. Please, ya ibn Rasulullah, I want you to consider her one of your family, one of yours. Take her to your camp.
قال والله لا أنعمنك عينا شبان مثل الورد يزهون حسف على الغبر ينامون يا شبان بالله لا تونون تصدعون قلبي من تلوجون مدري بعد أهل اشتريدون رحم الضايعات بعدك ضعنا. سيدنا سماحة آية الله السيد الميلاني, تفضلوا سيدنا, تفضلوا نستفيد منكم سيدنا. نسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم يا الله. Raise your hand, raise your hand. This is the moment where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pays attention to us and looks at us with the eyes of mercy and compassion and forgiveness. And therefore we have to share our feelings, our requests, our needs. We are desperate for His mercy and His guidance. نسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم
الأعز الأجل الأكرم يا الله إلهنا بفاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها يا الله. اللهم اكشف هذه الغمة عن هذه الأمة. اللهم فرج عن المحرومين والمكروبين والمظلومين. اللهم فرج عن أهلنا المظلومين في العراق يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم اجعل كلمة الإسلام هي العليا. I need to listen to your آمين. اللهم اجعل كلمة الإسلام هي العليا وكلمة أعداء الله وأعداء الإسلام وأعداء أهل البيت هي السفلى. اللهم من أراد بنا سوءا فأرد ومن كادنا فكد. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا فنتبع والباطل باطلا فنجتنب. اللهم انصر علماءنا العاملين. اللهم انصر مراجعنا وقادتنا وعلى رأسهم وفي طليعتهم سماحة آية الله العظمى السيد السستاني. اللهم امدد في عمره الشريف واحفظه من كل مكروه وأيده وسدده بتوفيقك وتأييدك يا أرحم الراحمين، وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان.